Oh, a second subject. I was thinking about false concepts. As is true in many areas of life, there's more false concepts about something than true concepts. So in this case, the spiritual path, there's more false concepts about the spiritual path than there are true ones. So I ran into a few of them recently, and I thought I'd share them. We became aware of, through email, one of our members is working with a neighboring family, and the young man there is very keen on meditation. He wants to meditate, wants to learn how to meditate. And, of course, simple meditations benefit everyone. If our goals in meditation are very simple, then great, we encourage everyone to meditate. Meditation will quiet the mind down, make you feel a little more peaceful, give you a little more control of your thoughts. However, the kind of meditation that this young man has in mind is a deeper meditation, the kind that leads to profound realizations. So, what's the problem? Well, he has a false concept that you can just start, sit down and meditate, and if you get the right technique, you can really have profound realizations. So, of course, that's not our teachings. There's some things you have to do first. It's like, you know, starting in graduate school or something rather than kindergarten. You know, it doesn't work that way. So, what do you have to do first? Well, in our terminology, of course, it's Charya Kriya comes before yoga. But in just ordinary terminology, trying to explain it to someone, you need to be able to perform humble service. Be a great thondar. You need to have cultivated a deep love of God. Be a great bhaktar. Those are our two prerequisites, or another way, Charya and Kriya. But that idea that we've actually gone through years of service and devotional practices before we can expect the profound nature of meditation to manifest, that's the correct concept. That there are prerequisites here, even in the eightfold, I mean the Ashtanga yoga, the eight-limbed yoga definitions, you start not with meditation, but you start with the yamas and the niyamas, right? Which is another form of expression of good conduct, service, and devotion. The yamas and the niyamas are the first steps toward profound realization. So here's another false concept. We have sincere men who are on the path, going along, studying Gurudeva's teachings, and they get angry and have the concept, well, I get angry, so what? It doesn't influence my spiritual progress. Everything's going along fine. I just get angry. Just kind of get upset and let it off my chest. So the classic example is the husband gets frustrated at work by the actions of his boss, right? Of course, he can't complain to his boss. He loses his job. So he has to hold it all within. All this frustration is there, which he feels against his boss. He comes home, and what's he do? Of course, he expresses it against his wife because he's allowed to do that. He'll lose his job if it gets expressed against the person he really feels it about. But so he comes home and expresses it against his wife. Angry verbal outbursts happen, and hopefully nothing more. But this is quite common in some homes. It's just a pattern. Frustration builds up at work. The man comes home, releases it at home. Happens again and again. It's a pattern. But the false concept is that this in no way inhibits my spiritual progress. No, I'm going along just fine on the spiritual path. I just have this little, you know, way of getting rid of my frustration. I happen to go home and dump it on my wife. So, what's wrong with that? Well, he's not understanding that when you get angry at your wife, you're hurting her with your words and threats. then this is creating a new negative karma, definitely. It's against ahimsa. To hurt somebody with your words is creating a karma. It's causing her to experience to one degree or another the lower emotion of fear and insecurity, drawing your consciousness down rather than raising it up. So this again is creating a karma. For the man himself, expressing anger stimulates the lower chakras, which draws energy out of the higher chakras above the muladhara. So the muladhara chakras and above are losing energy to the chakras below the muladhara. So spiritual practices, the whole point of them is to get the energy in the chakras, the muladhara and above. Anger is putting it below the muladhara. So what do we have? Two simple analogies. It's like spending all day filling a bathtub and then emptying it. Filling the bathtub is like doing the spiritual practice. We're getting the energies above the muladhara. Emptying the bathtub is like getting angry. So after the whole day is done, have we made any progress? Obviously not. The one action is countermanding the other. Even though we're doing the spiritual practices during part of the day, the benefit is being destroyed during the other part of the day. At the end of the day, we haven't made progress. Another example, always makes sense to those who are Capricorns. Working hard to earn $200 in cash and then lighting it on fire. Okay, here we work all day. We got our $200 in cash. We come home and we burn it. You know, have we made any progress during that day? Obviously not. All the fruits of our efforts all day long have been destroyed in this one little action of burning up the cash. $200, put it in the little pot, burn it up. It's gone. So that's just like working at spiritual activities, getting up in the morning, doing our puja and so forth, and then letting ourselves get angry in the evening. We're destroying the results, the benefits of what we did in the morning. So, obviously, we aren't making any progress, and obviously outbursts of anger are not acceptable if you want to make spiritual progress and really say you're on the path. We have to control anger. Moving on.